This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Farrah & Farrah, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wells Fargo, Geico, Sonny's Barbecue, Cars.com, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Well, in the Jaguars' final game before the bye week, they go to Houston and lose it. 24-14, the final score. Jaguars 10-point losers against the Texans. And now the road is very difficult. Not so much in terms of the opposition, but Marco Coleman in terms of what the Jaguars lay in front of them now. This was a game, had they won it, they would have been a game out of first place with the bye week there to kind of re-energize and recapture and look forward. With the game in hand against the Texans, would have been 2-0 in the division. All that out the window now. The Jaguars are now three games out of first place in the AFC South. And at 2-6, it doesn't even make sense to start talking about, you know, winning the division or anything else. Now, they have so much work to do on that offense. It's nearly a staggering amount of work that needs to be done to get that offense right.
And it's really disheartening because you look at the people that really could make a big difference, guys like Mercedes. They're not helping out, you know, making catches, getting open, you know, and like a perfect example also was on that interception, the last interception, Mike Sims-Walker kind of just conceded to the guy getting him, you know, fight for the ball. I just don't see the fight in the offensive players that you see on that defensive side of the ball. I don't know, you heard earlier when you did the bit with Mel and the things that they do on a defensive basis as a unit to build unity and a sense of urgency. And I want to hear about those type of things being done on the offensive side of the ball. And it just doesn't seem like it's getting done at all on that side.
All right, we'll have more analysis coming up here in just a bit. First, let's get you updated on other games that have gone final around the National Football League. Indianapolis still 0 for the year, losing at Tennessee 27-10 today. Matt Hasselbeck threw a touchdown. Titans scored on a blocked punt in the end zone. And really controlled this game throughout, 27-10, the final score, despite the fact that Tennessee had just 311 yards of offense. Indy actually outgained them in the ball game. Curtis Painter throwing for 250 yards, but Painter was also the leading rusher for Indianapolis. That does not bode well.
Not at all.
In a 27-10 Titans victory over Indianapolis. So that's the other game in the AFC South. So here's how the AFC South looks now. Houston with a victory, now 5-3 in the AFC South. Tennessee is 4-3, so it looks like it's going to be a two-horse race in the division now. Jaguars 2-6, and the Colts at 0-8 on the season. And now in a pretty good shape in terms of the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. That's because one of the other teams with out a win got one today. St. Louis beat New Orleans. Who had that one? Nobody had that thing picked, but St. Louis beat New Orleans 31-21, and the Rams scoring 17 points in the second quarter, really the difference in the ball game, able to hang on despite the Saints coming back and scoring three touchdowns in the second half. It wasn't enough, so St. Louis picks up their first victory of the season. Rams are now 1-6 on the year. Saints, after the huge performance against Indy last week, fall to 5-3 on the year. The other team without a win playing today, Miami, had a lead throughout most of the ball game. Until the final 6 minutes, Eli Manning's touchdown pass to Victor Cruz of 25 yards gave the Giants the lead, and they would hold on to win it 20-17. So it's Miami and it's Indianapolis now, the only remaining winless teams in the National Football League. They're the ones going for the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. We figured that the Stanford quarterback will be the first pick in the draft. Now, remember, he's just a junior.
He's a junior. He hasn't
no guarantee.
Yeah, he hasn't declared himself. He stayed in last year and could have left.
But you'd figure, one way or another, whoever winds up
Miami's over, already calling him.
Yeah, they may be looking at that opportunity. Baltimore came from behind, trailing 24-3. Boy, did they come back. Ray Rice with 3 second-half touchdowns, and Billy Cundiff's field goal from 25 yards out as time expired gave the Ravens a 30-27 victory over Arizona. This looked like Baltimore was still recovering from the loss to the Jaguars on Monday night for most of this game, but they came back to win it. Joe Flacco completing 31 of 51, 336 yards in the ballgame, including 7 for 145 to Anquan Boldin. Minnesota and Carolina in a matchup of rookie quarterbacks. Cam Newton against Christian Ponder. Newton threw 3 touchdown passes. Ponder threw 1 to Adrian Peterson, also had the good sense to hand off to Peterson. And in the ballgame, Peterson wound up running 21 times for 86 yards and catching five passes for 76 yards. So good all-around game for AP in that ball game as Minnesota hangs on to win it. A missed Olindamari field goal would have sent it to overtime at the buzzer. 24-21, Minnesota beats Carolina. And so it is Christian Ponder getting the best of Cam Newton in that ball game. And those are the scores from the early games in the National Football League. Late games getting underway. Washington and Buffalo are scoreless. About halfway through the first quarter there as they play in Toronto. Denver, a 3-0 lead on Detroit with the early stages. And Detroit has just come back to score. Matthew Stafford throwing to Titus Young from 41 yards out. Interesting that the day after the Florida-Georgia game, it's Stafford against Tebow again.
Wow.
With Detroit against Denver. And so far, Stafford's team has the edge 7-3 midway through the first quarter. Pittsburgh and New England are scoreless, but Pittsburgh has the football first and goal on the New England 8-yard line. And Cleveland and San Francisco just underway playing out in the Bay Area. And the other game going on in Seattle, Cincinnati taking on the Seahawks. Andy Dalton at the helm, of course, for Cincinnati. And that one tonight, it's Dallas against Philadelphia. And then the Monday night matchup has San Diego going to Arrowhead to take on Kansas City. GEICO could help you save on more than just car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO for a free quote on motorcycle, renter's insurance, and more. And don't worry, GEICO won't throw a flag for excessive celebration. A reminder to Jaguars season ticket holders, you can get paid at the pump when you buy 10 gallons or more of gas at Gate. Show your Jaguars rewards card and receipt to the cashier for your coupon worth $2 in JagBucks, redeemable for game day concessions and merchandise. That is part of the Jaguars rewards program with Gate. All right, Marco, I know there'll be a lot of talk about the quarterback, where things are going here. How much do you put the struggles of the offense on the rookie quarterback? How much do you put on the receivers? How much do you put on the line? How much do you put on the game plan, the running back? Where do the Jaguars have to improve in order to get things heading in the right direction? That's going to be one of the big topics we'll have as we continue on here on postgame. For now, though, let's head to the locker room. Jeff Loggeman standing by with the Bubba Burgers Coaches Report with Jack Del Rio.
Thank you, Cole and Jack. Obviously a game in which to kind of keep the division playoff hopes alive was really a must win, and it's got to be disappointing to not get that win prior to the bye.
Yeah, no, we talked about the urgency that we had to have, the importance of being able to close this thing. It was a twofer game, you know, find a way to win it. You're one back going into the bye. You don't have it go that way. Now you're three back, you know, still eight games to play, but obviously a much more desperate situation than we were close to putting ourselves back into.
You know, there at the beginning of the second half, you ended up having an opportunity to either decline a penalty or accept the penalty on the punt play. You ended up repunting, and the Texans ended up getting good field position, one you might want to have back, I would think.
Yeah, we gave them probably 15 yards right there. 15 yards for not pinning them on the sideline like we did on the next punt. You know, look at what we did on the next punt. And that's what we were expecting to do there. And so, again, you have opportunities to make plays. You don't make plays, then you talk about things like that, you know.
You know, defensively, a pretty solid job overall. Missed opportunity to make an interception in the end zone. But the defense continued to fight until the end. But the big story is your offense. I mean, just you got to get more production out of the offense.
Yeah, true. We definitely have to play better on offense. But, you know, defensively, you can't celebrate it when you allow an opening drive for a touchdown. Right? You can't celebrate when you mistime it and you give up a touchdown. It should be a pick. And you can't celebrate when you have them third and long at the end of the game, chance to get the ball back, one score game, and you don't get it done because you have a mental error. So, you know, look, those are the things. We're playing pretty solid D, and we should have been better today. And really, you know, the brunt of it's going to go to the offense and the passing game, and deservedly so. It's been very bad. And but while we're trying to fix that, we've got to be, you know, locked down in other areas. And, you know, to me, special teams and defense weren't good enough today. And you do those things at a higher level, and you find a way to win a game like this while you're putting together things with the passing offense. We know we have work to do there. We know we're nowhere near where it has to be. And as a football team, we've got to find a way to come in here and win anyway.
Early in the ball game, quarterback appeared to come out with a rib situation, goes back in. First throw looked good. Any other injuries report? Obviously, Will Rackley missed some time, looked like an ankle. But those two guys, how are they, and any others to report?
No, I think those two guys fought their way back. They both got banged during the game and returned. And so beyond that, I really don't have anything on the injury front.
All right, thank you, Jack.
Okay, Jeff.
All right, that's the coach's report with head coach Jack Del Real, brought to you in the Winn-Dixie postgame show by our friends at Bubba Burgers. You also heard the injury report brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation. Blaine Gabbert left the ballgame on the opening drive with ribs, came back, played the rest of the way. Will Rackley left the ballgame in the second half with an ankle, came back and finished the game out. That, of course, will be updated next week. The Jaguars do not have to offer an injury report, this week. All of our stats, final stats, brought to you by our friends at Wells Fargo this evening. But first, let's take a break. We'll remind you, you can text BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You could hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. We're back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show from Reliant Stadium after this on Jaguars Radio. The Winn-Dixie postgame show, and this portion is brought to you by Cars.com. We go down to the Jaguars locker room where Jeff Loggeman is standing by. Logs.
Thank you, Brian, here with Aaron Campman. And Aaron, obviously this game had a lot of importance. You know, going into the bye, keeping pace in the division right now, the way the AFC looks, you know, the playoff picture, you guys had to get this win to really kind of have an opportunity to win a division. If you didn't get it, it's got to be disappointing for a football team.
It is extremely disappointing coming off the game, the performance we had on Monday night on a short week. Felt like we could carry that momentum with us today. You know, weren't able to get it done, which is the frustrating part. Felt like we had a good week leading up to it. And, you know, and again, in the end, had some plays that we could have made, you know, especially in critical situations at the end. We're going to look at it, and there are going to be three, four, five plays that, you know, we got to make. Play pretty sound football, you know. Good spurts during that game, and then just at the end there, trying to claw our way back into it. You know, had some breakdowns.
And a lot of people, first thing they're going to want to look at is that, well, offense, offense, offense. But you know, defense, you got to look at it as defense, defense, defense. And the opportunities you had there at the end of the ball game, they were trying to run a 4-minute drill, and you guys had a third down opportunity, and coverage wasn't there, and then completion Owen Daniel.
That's kind of what I'm talking about. You know, we had a breakdown there, and that, you know, not that that's the, you know, the only thing, but that's a big one in a critical situation. We came after him with a zero blitz, wanted to get the ball out quick. We were able to accomplish that, and just had some miscommunication, and when we make an error up front, it's not as usually seen, but in the back end, you know, there's miscommunication like that, and everyone's, you know, glaring. So, you know, collectively as a defense, we've got to find a way to make that play.
You got a bye week coming up, and obviously the collective bargaining rules are a little different now. Yeah. You know, you got 4 days off, and typically you'd think, okay, bye week, you know, you use that time to kind of get better. Even though you got limited time, you still got to look at it as trying to find a way to get better.
Yeah, I think that we've got Tuesday and Wednesday, and I don't think you'll see a ton of guys scooting out of town. You know, we can come in voluntarily and get ourselves as healthy and get ourselves as on the same page as possible. You know, we've got some things we got to fix, obviously, and so we want to continue to work towards that. This isn't really a time to rest.
All right, thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And those are the most prophetic words I have heard in a postgame locker room this season. This is really no time to rest. Aaron Campman with Jeff Loggeman. Time now to name our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP. And Bueller Swiss is the official watch of the Jaguars. Logs, it has to be someone on defense, and I would nominate to you Clint Session. We wouldn't have had a game if it wasn't for, you know, the blitz, the sack, the strip. You know, and then he got up and he took the third lateral.
Yeah.
That one from Podros down to the eighth that set up the game-tying score at the time. So I would nominate Clint Session, who's played well the last
game. Yeah, good point, and especially two games in a row in which he's been really productive.
All right, that's our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP. You can get yours at Jacobs Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Time now for our Bud Play of the Game, and it is that play. So here you go, brought to you by Budweiser, who reminds you great times are waiting. Please designate a driver. Two receivers, two tight ends. Dreesen, the tight end, comes in motion to join Daniels on the left side. And back to pass. Schaub is under pressure. It's hit! The ball's free on the field! Matt Roth has got it! And he dumps it off! Podros just got it! Papros throws it out, and there goes Session inside the 10. And the Jaguars tied the ball game at 7. However, they really couldn't do anything in the second half. Again, a short field created by the defense when Dwight Lowry took the ball away from Ben Tate and took it all the way back to the 40, got the 15-yard penalty, short field. They score, but the Jaguars' offense just not enough today. Only 37 yards in the second half. Thanks to John Dineen for making the trip from Jacksonville. And, of course, to the folks at CopyFax who print our boards every single game. They're the exclusive and only provider of business machines to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Scott Kushner, our engineer on site, and the best producer on radio in Jacksonville. And the NFL, just ask him, Joe Fortunato. We'll send it back to Jacksonville, to Cole, and to Marco. 24-14, Jaguars fall to 2-6, headed to the bye week. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is the Jaguars Radio Network.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman. Jaguars lose it 24-14. All right, big question I asked you before we went back to get our locker room coverage, Marco. What can the Jaguars do to improve? What do they need to improve in order to be competitive in the second half of the season?
Well, they're going to have to go ahead and get the support from the surrounding cast of the rookie. You know, you made mention of Ponder and you made mention of Cam Newton. You know, two rookies that had the same amount of time that Gabbert has had to prepare for the football season. But the difference that you see with those guys is the guys that are the Pro Bowlers on that team, the guys that are mainstays on their offenses, they are giving him the support that he needs. They're catching balls, they're getting runs, and the coaches are putting the plays and not putting so much pressure and allowing those guys to make plays. As a matter of fact, you look at the start of the second half, they started the first three drives with a pass, all incomplete. So now you got second and long, and all of a sudden you say, okay, here, MJD, man, we need you to get us in a better situation. Come on, man. That shouldn't even have to happen. If you want to win a game, put it on MJD's shoulders and allow Gabbert to help him get the win.
I don't think right now Dirk Cutter has any kind of trust in anybody on that team. He should have more trust, in my opinion, Maurice Jones-Drew, despite the fumbles and the drops and so forth. But, you know, Mercedes Lewis, who has just been, you know, flip a coin if he's going to catch the football when it's thrown to him.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, his blocking wasn't very good today.
I'm burning my 89 jersey.
I mean, listen, you've been the number one Mercedes Lewis fan for the last couple of years.
I'm trashing my 89 jersey, man. Because that's really disappointing, you know, especially from a guy, you know, that really works hard. And even his blocking, he hasn't been as dominant a blocker. I hope that maybe the time he spent during the training camp is not the reason why his play
MMA
is suffering.
Training or something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really, really surprising because of the work ethic that he has that he's not being more effective in the offense and being able to get that support. You know, like I said, and also you have to look at the coach also. You figure here you are in the red zone, you know, with the opportunity to go get a first down, and what do? You take Maurice Jones-Drew out and you run the ball with Deji Kareem. If you're trying to get something done, do the obvious things. Even though everybody in the stadium knows it, as a matter of fact, you can watch the Minnesota Vikings and everybody in the stands, even the people in Canada, the people in Bangkok know that Adrian Peterson is about to get the football. So what? And he still gets it done. That's the same thing that you see can happen with Maurice Jones-Drew. Stop trying to surprise people. Do the things that you can count on, and that's getting the ball to those type of guys and letting them get something done.
I have a lot of criticisms right now of the way this offense is operating, and anybody would when you consider – you know, the ineffectiveness that they've shown. I mean, 14 points today, both touchdowns set up by defense forcing turnovers and making plays.
Exactly.
No kind of sustained
drive at all. None at all.
You know, unless you call 7 plays and 26 yards a sustained drive, that doesn't really work for me. But, you know, when you have a rookie quarterback, you need to have some guys making plays.
Got to give them some support.
You have to have guys. And sometimes it's as simple as just catching the ball when it's thrown to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But boy, it makes you bang your head against the wall. Some of it's on Gabbert. But I would say 80% of what I'm seeing are problems with things other than Gabbert right now.
The guys that are on the other end of on the receiving end, the guys that are supposed to support him, the guys that are supposed to be taking care of the young guy.
And occasionally pass protection, too, has been an issue. Although I think catching the football and making plays there has been a bigger issue. If you're a parent or guardian of a girl 6 to 17 years of age, stop by a local Bell store, register your child to become a member of the Junior Roar performing at halftime during the Jags-Bucks game December 11th. Registration is now through November 6th. For official rules, visit your nearby Bell store. We'll take time out when we come back. More of the Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars' 24-14 loss. Break down the offense a little bit more. Also still to come, how was this performance by the defense compared to their Monday night performance? And if you get this kind of performance every week, can you win with it? Back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman. Jaguars lose it 24-14. Jaguars are now 2-6. Can you envision a way where the Jaguars could get back in this thing in terms of the AFC South race?
Matt Schaub has to get hurt. Matt Schaub has to go out. He has to actually.
You think he's the difference
maker?
He
is the difference maker. He would make that big of a difference because you get Leinart in there. I don't see him being able to be as effective as an offense with him out of there. And that's the only way it happened because they would take quite a few losses. Like,
let me paint just a little scenario. I'm doing this on the fly. I just want to play what if. After the bye week, they've got the Colts. At the Colts. Figure that's a win?
I can't count on it.
The Colts are terrible.
I can't count on it. I mean, we got 0-whatever going against 2-6.
You're going to have to go with me on this.
Okay.
If you're not going to let them beat a winless team, then this exercise isn't going to work.
Okay. Right? Okay, they beat the Colts.
Beat the Colts. Then you're at the Browns.
They're at the Browns, and the Browns, that's that. They lost last season at the Browns.
Are you not going to give me a chance that that's a win?
Okay.
I'm telling you what has to happen in order for them to get back.
I'm sorry.
Bet your house on this game.
Gotcha.
Man, alive. The negative thoughts here.
I'm trying to be. I was as positive as I could be going today. I thought they were going to win this game.
I know you did.
I really did. I would have bet the house that they were going to win this game.
So you got Colts and Browns. If they get the, you know, if they get the offense closer to average, let's say. Then you have the Texans. If the Jaguars were to win those first two games coming out of the bye week, then beat the Texans there,
mm-hmm.
no matter what the Texans did in between now and then, now the Jaguars would be, what, 5-6.
5-6.
And then suddenly those games in December become, mm-hmm. you know, kind of your must-win kind of games.
Yeah, they're not out of it.
Certainly not mathematically out of it.
Right, but there's a slim chance.
My point is
slim.
Having the Texans still on that on the horizon,
mm-hmm. gives them another chance.
It's not a very good chance, and if they play like they did today on offense, there's no chance because you can't be that inept on offense and compete. I don't care how good your defense is.
And you got to look at the Texans still have to play football too. They still have 8 games left themselves, so you figure with the possibility of the winner of this division still being, I'm going to say, 8-8, mm-hmm. the Jaguars still have an opportunity to be that team, to be the division winner.
The only problem is their margin for error
is so slim,
and their margin for and what they've shown to this point has been so limited you just go, oof.
It's tough. It's going to be a very tall task. And the way that this thing has been going, it's really tough to expect anything different than what you've been seeing over the past few couple months.
If there is some good news, if you want to find something to hang your hat on the offense, Maurice Jones-Drew today. Let me make sure I have these numbers right. Maurice Jones-Drew today, 63 yards rushing. That means he has now run for more yards in the first 8 games of a season than anybody in Jaguars history
this year. Okay.
Believe that?
That's a good deal.
I mean, it's something. So if you need something,
don't give him the ball on second down.
They don't give it to a
third and long, yeah. or in the red zone. You give it to Deji Kareem.
Yeah. Why do you take your best player out in the most important?
I mean, I would even go so far as to call a timeout if he's tired to allow him to get some water, get his rest, so that we can keep the chains moving. I would do that. I think that's not unreasonable to do if you're trying to really win a football game.
Yeah, it's. It's a head scratch.
I'm saying that I'm trying to justify why he wasn't in the game by saying maybe he was tired.
Yeah, I'm not going for that. I got to find out whether he was taking himself out or the coaching staff was taking him out at that point. And I know you've got to you want to keep him, but when you're in the red zone, just put your best player in there. Let him do it. Between the,
you're listen, down by two touchdowns.
You got yeah. You got time to rest in the bye week. Let's go.
You're mandatory 4 days off.
Yeah, you've got plenty of time to rest. All right, we'll talk about what the Jaguars will do in the bye week and examine the defense a little bit more. Winn-Dixie postgame show continues. Reminder that Tuesday, November the 8th, J.D. Byrider invites you to their dealership at 8864 Atlantic Boulevard to have cookies with the Jaguars rookies. They'll be there from noon till 2 p.m. signing autographs and sharing cookies with you. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show right after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. After the Jaguars lose 24-14 to the Houston Texans, Jaguars give up 358 yards of offense. Not quite up to the standard that they had on Monday Night Football, but what do you think of the defensive effort today?
They did the things necessary to put the team in a position to win when they needed it. And I think that on a couple of drives, well, the long drive at the beginning of the well, it wasn't a long drive, but the drive at the start of the second half, that wasn't good. That wasn't good at all. And then when they needed to actually hold them and stop them from scoring, they weren't able to do that also in the latter part of the game. But other than that, I think the defense did – they played well enough to just get some kind of offensive help for the team to win. Getting those opportunistic turnovers that created the opportunities for the scores. You know, if it wasn't for those, we wouldn't see any scores.
Yeah, other than that 80-yard drive to start the ball game, Houston's scoring drives were 44 yards, 40 yards, and then the field goal drive. I don't have the numbers there, but it was a field goal drive, didn't get in the end zone. So there were really no long sustained drives after that first touchdown drive.
Right. But you just got to keep them out of the end zone, recognizing the inability of your offense to score.
Did you ever play on a defense that the offense was just so ineffective that you felt like you had to darn near pitch a shutout?
Yeah, when I played for the Chargers, you know, with Ryan Leaf, you mm-hmm. know, it was just, but we didn't start out this way. You know, we actually got to, I think, 4-4 and ended up being 5-11. You know, so it was never been in this type of situation so early in this. Well, you know, it was earlier in the season, but. You know, but I have been in that situation where you felt like as a defense you can't allow this other team to score at all or you're not going to have a chance to win. And that's tough. That's putting a lot of pressure on a defense when you're facing an offense that can score. I mean, to hold this team the way they did, I think is pretty good. You know, allowing the Houston Texans to only have to go 40 yards for a touchdown, that's tough work. That's really tough to do. You know,
it's
really
a good Texans offense, too. I mean, even without Andre Johnson, they've got some weapons.
Their head coach is an outstanding offensive play caller, you know, and he comes from, you know, the Mike Shanahan school of running mm-hmm. the ball. You know, their running game is the best in one of the best in the league.
And it looked very good at times today, although, you know, Arian Foster did wind up with over 100 yards, but he only averaged 3.4 yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a carry of over, I think, 14 yards, something like that, 14, 18 yards, something like his one long run.
Yeah,
but
I will say that the linebackers and defensive linemen, they didn't do as well as they did on Monday night as far as getting off of blocks.
Yeah.
And I think they were stuck on the blocks a little longer than they were on Monday night. And they didn't start the game with the same type of energy that they had Monday night either.
No, that was definitely an obvious difference from Monday night to the starting drive today. All right, we'll take time out, come back with a Sexton summary. Still to come, we will have the Baptist Health coverage of the game and the protector of the game brought to you by the Insurance Office of America, plus the good, the bad, and the ugly. Could be at least one category that could have some strong candidates on that. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton summary. Highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Ryan Sexton. First drive for the Texans, impressive. 12 plays, 80 yards, 6:39 off the first quarter clock. They were down at the 3-yard line.
Here's second and goal. It's play action. Schaub looking back to his left now, wants to run, and he's going to walk into the end zone for a Houston touchdown.
Matt Schaub's run gave the Texans a 7-0 lead, but the Jaguars' defense would stiffen from there. 4 plays punt, 3 plays punt, 3 plays and punt for the next 3 drives for the Houston Texans. And on their next drive after that, the Jaguars forced the turnover.
And back to pass. Schaub is under pressure. It's hit! The ball's free on the field! Matt Roth has got it and he dumps it off. Podros just got it. Podros throws it out, and there goes Session inside the 10.
Jaguars had the ball at the 8-yard line, in fact, and two plays later, Jacksonville would tie the game up.
Jones and Jones-Drew in the eye. Texan stack. Play action. Gabbert turns and throws. He's got a man. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Jason Hill's in the end zone for his third touchdown of the season. And the Jaguars are within an extra point of tying it up.
7-7 at that point after the Scobie extra point. However, on their next possession, driving downfield into scoring range, a chance to maybe kick a field goal at worst and head to the halftime locker room with a lead. Blaine Gabbert's pass tipped, intercepted by Brian Cushing. That would end the Jaguars' chances for a lead at halftime. Second half, after the Jaguars went three plays and out on their first drive, Houston came back. Nine plays, 44 yards. Matt Schaub finding Kevin Walter to convert a third down, another to Owen Daniels on a play that was not reviewed inside the 10, and from the 7-yard line, Schaub went back to the air.
Foster in the backfield, third and goal from the 7. Schaub to throw, pressure coming. He's going to get hit as he throws, and this one is, oh my goodness, it should have been intercepted. Instead, it's a touchdown.
Joel Dreesen with the catch, and a 14-7 Houston lead. Jaguars tried to get something going, but after a long stretch that Blaine Gabbert had gone without throwing an interception, the rookie threw his second of the game.
Gabbert, quick drop. Looking to his left, turns and throws a pass, and this one is intercepted. Jason Allen's got it at the 40-yard line. Took it right away from Mike Sims-Walker.
And that would lead, five plays later, to another Houston score.
Schaub's got two backs and two tight ends. He hands the ball off. Foster trying to stretch it, and he does. And he's going into the end zone for a touchdown.
And that looked like it was just about it for the Jaguars, and particularly after the next drive resulted in a three plays and out situation. After punting it away, Jaguars defense tried to give the offense a little bit of life.
Here's the handoff. The Jaguars look to bottle up. Nope, there goes Tate. Breaks a tackle and another. He's on the run to the 40. He's got a first down. Lost the ball. The Jaguars pick it up. Lowry's going back the other way. Can he get a block? He's got a couple of guys out in front of him. Leaps a defender. There he goes to the 50. Lowry is to the 40. There's a couple of flags down.
But that would be good enough for the Jaguars. Maurice Jones-Drew running for 8 yards and a first down. Then on 4th and 4 from the 7, a 5-yard gain by Mike Thomas on a short pass would set up the Jaguars from the 2-yard line.
Here's the handoff. Jones-Drew cuts it back, and he's going to go to the end zone. Maurice Jones-Drew, touchdown, Jacksonville.
And the Jaguars trailed at 21-14 with 5:15 remaining. The defense needed to make a stop, but they could not. Owen Daniels converted on a 30-yard hookup on a broken communication, broken coverage situation. Arian Foster ran it for 14 yards to set up Neil Racker's 39-yard field goal. With 18 seconds left, that stretched the lead 24-14. And that's where it ended. That's the Sexton Summary. Brought to you by Metro PCS with no signed contracts. Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Back with the coverage of the game and the protector of the game as the Winn-Dixie postgame show continues here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars' 24-14 loss in Houston to the Texans on Battle Red Day. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Now time for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville's circle of care. Marco, who are you going with on the coverage of the game?
Mr. Cox. It was early in the game, long ball, and you see how big of an asset that Derek Cox is when he's running with a guy step for step, and you can't get the ball to the wide receiver. They tried him on several different occasions. He was always right there with super tight coverage. Derek Cox is the coverage guy of the game.
In fact, on a number of occasions, the Texans tried to go downfield against the Jaguars, and none of those long balls really connected. Some of it was coverage. A couple of times, Schaub was off the mark. But, but when the Jaguars are able to go and press coverage with those guys, they're usually in much better shape. It was the middle of the field that had some problems in coverage today,
right?
And that looked like it was a matter of missed coverage, miscommunication situation.
Yeah. Right. The safety's still not on the same page. So, but those guys on the end, Derek Cox and Rasheen, those guys have been doing a good job when they're up and they can play real physical. And I think they're able to do that now because you got Derek Cox on the other side. It changes their ability to be able to play their coverages.
Time now to name the protector of the game. It's brought to you by Insurance Office of America. Protector of the game.
Mr. Wineri, Mr. Steady. You can count on him. He had the offsides, though, but that didn't have anything to do with the way he was just mashing people and getting them all out of the way all day.
Yeah. So Uche Wineri is the protector of the game, brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Back to wrap things up on the Winn-Dixie postgame show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Still to come, if you're listening locally in Jacksonville, we'll take some of your calls and tweets, comments on today's game. Jaguars lose it 24-14. We're back after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Rounding up the chuck wagons and getting ready to head away for a bye week with the good, the bad, and the ugly with Marco Coleman.
Well, I'm going to say what was good was the defense's ability again to get turnovers, to put their team in a position to score some points. Every time they got those turnovers, that translated straight into some touchdowns. The offense was able to make something out of that. I thought that was really good. They get to do that, then as a team, they'll have some more opportunities to get something done. What I thought was bad was the offense, passing offense specifically. You know, Gabbard and his inexperience, you know, the star players and their inability to be consistent and catching the ball and helping him out, the poor ability of just wide receivers getting open. There's just so many different things. And then the inconsistency in the blocking. The passing game is terrible. It's got to get something done to get that done. And ugly, I'm going to have to say this 2-6 record is just completely disgusting. You know, and a loss before a bye. You know, right now these guys are on a, you know, lost 6 of the last 7 games. And you're going to a bye week. We got 4 days off for people to just tell you how bad you suck. That's ugly, man. And I've been in that situation. It's a terrible, terrible situation to be in.
It'll be interesting to see how the Jaguars handle the bye week, how much the veterans decide to, you know, the coaches can't bring them together. That's part of the new collective bargaining agreement.
Yep.
So we'll see what the veterans do, if they do anything, to try to get some guys together. On the offensive side of the football, especially.
And that's where they need the unity. A perfect example of the unity or the togetherness of that defense is that when Roth got that, he picked up that interception, picked up that fumble that Sessions caused. First thing he did was he looked for one of his partners. And then the next guy said, let me find another one of my buddies. That's showing that they're together as a defensive unit. And that's, I think, a big reason why they're being so successful, because they're playing good team defense.
All right, that'll do it. That is the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that's the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Jaguars are off next week. However, we have plenty of programming, including in Jacksonville. We'll have Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith tomorrow night. The general manager will join me. The Jack Del Rio show Tuesday. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna on Wednesday. If you're listening in Jacksonville, stick around. We'll take your calls at 800-355-NFL1. 355-6351. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper, C-O-L-E-P-E-P-P-E-R. Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is coming up next after the Jaguars fall to 2-6 in the first half of the season. 24-14 the final in Houston. Their chances to win the division dwindling down to just a flicker. They'll need to come out red hot in the second half and find something that they haven't had in the first half, that is consistency on offense, to make it happen. Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is coming up next here on Jaguars Radio.